Please take your Bibles, if you will, please. Turn to two portions of Scripture. Nahum, chapter 1, and 1 Samuel, chapter 15. But let's stand together, if you would, please, out of respect of the Word of God, as our pastor says. Nahum, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Echoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thought that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Lord, on this holiday weekend, as we think about our country, and how you have blessed it with gospel preaching churches. But Lord, we realize that thou art a jealous God, and that the day may come, and maybe very soon, in which you will bring judgment against this nation that has turned its back on you. Help us, Lord, to be testimonies of thy love and to be a lighthouse until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last week, the title of the sermon is Things That Amaze Me. And you remember I started off telling you that magnets amaze me and that compasses amaze me. And I still don't know why, if you have a compass, it points north. Oh, I understand the magnet power, but I don't understand it. But part two, things that amaze you. Some of you came to me and said, hummingbirds amaze you. Aren't hummingbirds something? I mean, if you've ever seen them, aren't you? Isn't it interesting that hummingbirds' wings can fly and move that quickly, but Canadian geese can't? Yes, which would you rather have in your yard, three hummingbirds or one Canadian goose? Rather have the hummingbirds, right? Yes. Someone said rainbows amaze you. Aren't they amazing? And you, rainbows are really exciting. I just always am thrilled to see it, even a double rainbow. Yes. How about the northern lights? That's something, isn't it? That's amazing. That's not something that happens in Sterling Heights. No. But this one, and you probably would agree, but aren't cell phones amazing? Now, I just took my cell phone and put it back by my wife. She'd rather have two and I none. But don't you find it interesting you have this little computer in your pocket? I'm just amazed. And pictures, the quality of the pictures are just amazing. I was looking at a picture that was taken of Donna and me a day or so before we got married 50 years ago, and the quality is not all that good. But today, it's too bad that I don't look better. Yeah, to do it justice. But I'd like to talk to you as you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. About rebellion. We live in a rebellious society. Can I say this to you? It is easy to be rebellious. It is easy to fall into the trap of thinking, well, it's all right if I don't follow the rules. Saul, the king of Israel, had been told what to do to the Amalekites. He was told to utterly destroy them, but he didn't. And notice what it says in verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Samuel, the prophet, is saying to King Saul, it is better that you obey than that you come with sacrifices and offerings. But notice verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity in idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Rebellion and stubbornness. I was reading with interest the other day in the newspaper this article, Southern Baptists Keep Out Mega Church. And the reason that the Southern Baptists have kept out a couple of churches, including the Saddleback Church in California, is because they have accepted women pastors. And in our society today, we believe that the Word of God is only good as long as we want to accept it. But if it offends us, then we are going to reject it. And this quote was given. Messengers voted for conformity and uniformity rather than unity. See, they said we would rather have conformity, accepting these people even though they are not right biblically. It says, the only way you will have unity is to love diversity. Folks, this is the rule book. And when you go against it, you're going against God. And yet we see it in our society today that we would rather be rebellious than to be right with God. Take your Bibles and if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 14. I will have you turning to a number of scriptures today, and I hope that you will either follow in your Bible or on your cell phone. But don't use your cell phone to text somebody, okay? Or to find out what the latest placement there is in the Rocket Mortgage Golf Tournament. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 11, we're talking about Lucifer. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy bowls. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Stop reading right there. Pride is a form of rebellion. You put yourself in a position that you do not deserve. And Lucifer rebelled against the God of the universe. Now you ponder this. We we read the Word of God and we have in our minds what God may look like. Lucifer saw God firsthand. He knew what he looked like. And he said, "You're okay, but I can be better. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning." Notice verse 12, "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." If you would please, the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12. Rebellion. And one thing I have found through the years, that rebellious people draw people after them. People are fascinated by them. They desire to be their friend, and they want the rebellious one to want them and like them. And Satan, we're going to find, is a deceiver, just as rebellious people are. They're deceivers. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Can I say this, that our world is a world that's full of lies? We live in a world that is deceiving us daily. Now, I'm not talking about people who like Hellman's mayonnaise over Miracle Whip. Some people are just simply deceived, right? Miracle Whip, Hellman's, how easily you are deceived. My wife raised her hand for Hellman's out there. Oh, well, yes. But you know, we have advertisements left and right. Satan deceives us. Number one, into believing that all religions lead to the same place. Can I tell you this? Religion will lead people straight to hell. Only faith in Jesus Christ will get us into heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way." Not a way, but the way, the truth and the life. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Satan says, "You can go multiple ways." We live in a world that has no clue, seemingly, if you're a cat or not. Even to the point that some of our elementary schools around our country now have places in the bathrooms with kitty litter. Deceived. Deceived. We have now, in the state of California, against the law to try to convert someone out of the homosexual lifestyle. And now in the state of Michigan, they are trying to pass a similar law. It's all right if they deceive us to follow their ways, but we can't do it the other way. Deception. John chapter 10, if you would, please. John chapter 10. Rebellion. It's rampant in our society. We see it all about us in the way that people act, the way they dress, how they decorate themselves. John chapter 10, verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Pastor Stephen was talking in the Sunday school hour about Satan and the fallen angels and how they deceive us. And how they desire to destroy us. See, Satan does not care if you have religion. He doesn't mind if you have religion. What he doesn't want you to have is salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, his desire then is to lead you astray. His desire is to make you a non-entity for the cause of Christ. He doesn't want you to be a testimony. Turn back a page to chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus speaking, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Let us turn to the book of Genesis very quickly. Time is quickly running. And as you can see, we are prepared for the Lord's Supper of this morning. And we'd like to do that in just a moment. But Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." When you twist the words of God, you're always bound for a problem. He said, don't eat it. She added the words, don't touch it, which probably was a good thing. Don't touch it. Notice verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." A half-truth, right? They would not die physically, but they would die spiritually. Verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Satan was rebellious. His desire was to be a god. And he's telling the woman, you can be a god. And in our world today, we have people that teach, you can be a god. We are lied to over and over again. Rebellion. It runs rampant in our society. Chapter 4, if you would, please. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." And as I've said before, you hear, see here, Cain bringing his best. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was green beans and carrots and radishes and beets and cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower. I don't know. And he put it all on this altar and he offered it unto the Lord and said, this is my best. Verse 5, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." God wanted the blood shed, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." Now, let me say this to you. I believe this, that Cain could have said, oops, I made a mistake. I thought I'd bring my best, but Lord, I understand you want a lamb. Let me go get one from my brother and let me slay it. and God would have been pleased. See, God is not interested in our religion. Cain said, "Let me come to you my way." And God said, "No, you will come my way." Verse 5 says, "And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Yesterday would have been my brother's 67th birthday. He passed away some 28, 29 years ago. And I'll be honest with you, I miss him more today than then. But I cannot imagine killing my brother. But rebellion leads to rebellion. And Cain went from being angry with God to killing his brother. Rebellion." If you would, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every evil imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So we went from Adam and Eve sinning to Cain killing his brother to now a society of millions of people who are evil continually. Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them." Rebellion. A turning away from God and having no desire to have him in their lives. Notice verse 2. "And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, although of all which they chose." Somewhere along the way, a preacher was preaching, and he said, "It is hard for good men to resist evil women." And we are seeing that in our society today, aren't we? With evil women flaunting themselves in every way imaginable, and men following after them like little puppies, leaving their God to follow after evil women. Rebellion. We turn to the book of Judges, and you don't have to, but Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And if what you have in your own eyes is that which God calls rebellion, can you be right with God? You cannot. And we live in a society that is not right with God. From the killing of the unborn to the immoral activity of people throughout society, we don't want to be told what is right and what is wrong. Matthew chapter 5, and we will be closing with this, even though I'm not near done with my message. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world." Who is the ye? Those who are believers in Jesus Christ. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." We cannot shine for the cause of Christ if we are living a life of rebellion. You say, well, I come to church. I give tithes. I read the Bible. Well, those are all outward appearances of what could be good. But where is your heart? Is your heart right with God? Or are you rebellious? Now, we're going to have an invitation. And someone's going to say, well, if I go forward, they're going to think I'm rebellious. Aren't we all rebellious by nature? And we need to get things right with God? Don't worry what other people are going to think. Think only of what God thinks. Shall we stand together? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, may the Holy Spirit touch our hearts. May it move and convict. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.